Hey, Anna, I know you're a big fan of the New Horizons mission that went
out to
Pluto. Did you know it was the fastest spacecraft ever launched off of the Earth, traveling at 36,400 miles per hour?
Oh, my gosh. Blah.
A speed that it would make it a circle around the Earth in 41 minutes.
Dean.
Impressive, isn't it?
No, that's boring.
Oh, it is boring. What do you got then?
Well, did you know, smarty pants, that the New Horizons team included 9 mementos that went with the probe? Do you know what they were?
They were on the probe?
Yeah. They went,
put some stuff on it?
It was like a time capsule that rocketed through space.
Whoa. What was in it?
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know.
Well, let me tell you. 2 U.S. flags, state quarters from Florida, where they launched,
Florida,
and Maryland. The U.S. stamp of Pluto with the label not yet explored,
right,
in 1991.
It hadn't been explored.
Well, they're like, guess what? a piece of the historic Spaceship One, some of Clyde Tombaugh's ashes. Clyde Tombaugh, of course, discovered Pluto.
The discoverer of Pluto's ashes went to Pluto?
Some of them,
not all of them. Okay.
A CD with pictures of team members. Mm-hmm. And then my personal favorite, a CD with more than 434,000 names that people submitted to a Send Your Name to Pluto project.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
Send Your Name to Pluto.
Yeah.
All on a CD.
All on 434. That's a long Word document.
This could be yours. A 6 CD set of all the names going to Pluto.
I wish I had.
With the greatest hits.
Yeah, I would have sent your name to Pluto.
You would have?
That's the nicest thing I can think I can say to you, probably.
That is a nice gift.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there among the stars, traveling again at 36,400 miles an hour. The speed it would take to go to the moon would be 6.5 hours. They'd get it there and get out to Pluto in 9.5 years. Isn't that amazing?
Of course you had to come back to your boring friend.
Well, anyway.
All right.
From the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
I'm Anna Heeman, and we're both from the Cincinnati Observatory. Dean's the astronomer, and I'm ready to challenge everything he says. In this episode, children's book author Mary Kay Carson joins us here in the studio. Okay, so I always like to see what's going on in space, you know, current events,
yes,
if you will.
Yes.
So let's talk about current events.
Yes, what's happening in space?
Some big stuff, actually, Dean. I'm glad you asked. Apparently, an asteroid flew by the Earth from a different solar system,
like
cutting through, and it's got an adorable Hawaiian name, Oumuamua.
That's pretty close. That's pretty close. I'm not going to do much better.
I did the best I could. Okay.
Yes, it's got the Hawaiian name Oumuamua.
Yes.
It is pretty exciting because this is an object that came from outside the solar system. So that means beyond the sun's reach, beyond Pluto, beyond the Oort cloud, all the way out
to another
solar system.
Ooh.
Now, we don't know which solar system it came from or exactly, you know, how long it took to get here, but it definitely, it's from its trajectory, we could tell it was not from the solar system and it was going to fly by and leave us.
That's crazy. They could tell that.
It's pretty cool. Because they only got to see it for, I think it was like 34 days. It wasn't for very long. Mm-hmm. They could see it. And they saw it after it passed the Earth. So we didn't see it coming in. We saw it going out.
Wow.
And so that's somewhat frightening if you wanted any warning about being hit by stuff. You know, like, oh, we missed it. Whoops, there it hit us. But luckily, this one didn't hit us. It missed us by a 21 million miles, so it wasn't very close.
Okay.
But still.
That's good. How big?
So that's the big question. So here we get to the interesting point. Actually, well, we kind of did part of that. Okay, the second interesting part.
Yeah, the Muamua was interesting.
In addition to this coming from another solar system, it is, well, this is where it gets controversial.
Oh my gosh.
Is that
drama.
Some scientists at Harvard have written a paper saying that this could be, very long shot, possibly,
oh my God,
an alien probe. That came from another solar system.
Oh, what?
Yes. Now, I
don't know why I said it like that, but that's really interesting.
Well, now, I read it and I had a quite different reaction.
Oh, you're like, that's not what that's
going to be. I said, are you kidding me?
Oh, really?
I am not happy with these scientists.
So you're going to fight with Harvard?
Oh, I'm going to fight for Harvard. I'll bring it right up to them and tell them why this is absolutely not a probe from another solar system.
Well, it is, but it just isn't aliens. Is that what you're saying? No,
that's good.
That could be right.
No, yeah, yeah. But no, they think it's aliens.
And they're not just saying.
They even say the A word. They say aliens in the thing.
They don't even use like a fancy word
no,
for it.
They don't,
just like straight up aliens.
They don't beat around the bush. They say,
man,
there is a possibility this could be an alien a sign of an intelligent space probe sent across the stars to check us out. It's unbelievably ridiculous. And they do say, you know, sure, there could be other possibilities, like it's just a big dumb rock that's tumbling from somewhere else, which is what it is. But I'll give the weird part is,
uh-huh,
is that it sped up unnaturally after it passed the Earth. Now, not by much, just a little bit accelerated, and we didn't have an explanation for it right away. Because sometimes if objects go by the sun, they have these jets that come off, like a comet, you know, like a comet's tail that comes out. So maybe this thing had cometary particles, and the sun heated up, and these jets formed, and it sped up just a little bit. Now, yeah, we're not, but some scientists are like, well, it doesn't have a cometary thing to it, so why should it have jets?
Oh.
And then other people were like, well, it's just heating from the sun, and it's going to do that, and there's gravitational forces, and all these other things. But when in doubt, where do you go?
I just ask you.
No, aliens.
Oh, aliens.
Aliens.
I
guess I thought you were following along on that one.
I thought that's kind of a
good
compliment.
Good, I'm glad
though.
You don't say aliens right away.
I know you're not going to say aliens.
Oh,
so
okay, right.
I'll just Google it.
Now, so here's why I don't think it's an alien craft. Number one, if I was going to make an alien craft, I wouldn't make it out of rock. I wouldn't make a dense, rocky object.
What a perfect disguise.
Oh, it's a good disguise. That's true.
Yeah.
They would know. We'd be able to tell it's rock.
Have you thought the reason you don't think it's alien is because your natural and deep embedded skepticism?
Well, there's
is that
too.
Like, is that a possibility?
That's true.
No.
That's true.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Two.
My bad.
It's tumbling end over end. It's it's pretty long. Like, and that, you asked how big it was.
We
thought it was bigger.
How many football fields?
It is one football field long to maybe three football fields long. And it's long and skinny. So it's like a pen, shaped thing that's tumbling, and it's tumbling end over end erratically. So it's like going over and over, tumbling over. And
like
so
clumsily.
It is. It's lumbering through, lumbering and tumbling through the atmosphere, through the solar system.
Okay. Is it really one football field? I thought it was going to be huge.
Well,
and you were going to be like, I can't measure it in football
They
field,
thought yeah. it was bigger than that. And the latest estimates are now saying it's about 320 feet to maybe 1,440 feet. Which,
that is so tiny.
That's a pretty, that's still a big size range. So,
is it? Okay.
So we don't know that much about this thing. I mean, come on. Let's,
apparently
but we do know, but we knew, no, it's tumbling end over end. And so if this is an alien spacecraft, so you're going to make it out of rock, you're going to have it tumbling out of control.
Right.
And it is going incredibly slow. Like it's going tens of thousands of miles an hour.
Yeah.
So like our spacecraft we sent to Pluto.
Right.
We can get to Pluto in 9.5 years with the spacecraft.
Right.
If we wanted to go to another solar system, it would take like 80,000 years just to get there. So if the aliens are sending this spacecraft that's going to take 80,000 years to get to us, and they disguised it as a tumbling out of control rock the size of a football field, these are some pretty dumb aliens.
You know, everyone always assumes that aliens are super smart and like super advanced. What if they slowed down because they wanted to get a bunch of selfies of Earth as they went by?
Whoa. And they put on the rock cloaking device. And then all of a sudden they're like, let's speed up accidentally.
And then they were like, fooled Harvard professors and scientists, a check. Like they did.
Oh, maybe it's all a big.
You're the lone wolf.
It's a big disinformation program. That's what they're doing. They're trying to throw our scientific community in chaos.
Well, it's not like they're going to be like, oh, here we are in a perfectly engineered spacecraft that you can, you know, they're going to be like, we're going to hide in a giant rock.
Yes. So this is all in my series of what kind of astronomy story could I make up someday in the future to get attention? That's what I need to figure out is what kind of mythical thing can I draw upon to go viral and, you know, I think we need to somehow we can make up some kind of story. We can it's got to be aliens, though. It seems like that's the
You know, I think you need one of those flow charts that's like is this an alien spacecraft? And then just goes one direction instead of saying, like, you know, asking questions. It just says no.
Yep. Yep.
It's not. Doesn't matter.
It is on my bulletin board. That's
You're never going
to. Because I actually did get an email this week. This weekend got an email.
Impromptu crank file right
now? I saw this thing in the sky, man. It was in the southeast right before dawn.
Oh, God.
It was so bright. What was it?
The sun.
And then I looked at my chart. Not aliens.
Not
And then another subset was pointed to Venus. And I looked up southeast morning, Venus.
Really?
So get ready. The observatory is going to get the calls. I know.
I'm calling in sick.
Mary Kay Carson is a prolific author of educational and fun children's books. Her latest is about Alexander Graham Bell, but we wanted to talk with her about her space books, including Beyond the Solar System and Mission to Pluto. Well, Mary Kay, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So with all the different books you've written and all the different topics, how do you decide? How do you pick your topics for your books?
You know, well, for space books, it's kind of super easy because as soon as you, the minute you write a space book, it's already out of date.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. So no, it's great. It's great as a writer. Everything always needs to be rewritten constantly. And so it's kind of what's happening. Like I wrote a book, Mission to Pluto, because the 9.5 year mission to Pluto is finally going to get to Pluto. So I'd really like to work on a book about Saturn. Because of all the Cassini findings. Mm-hmm. And so really it's just driven by what's being discovered.
That's awesome. So you want the books to be educational, of course. How do you make a book that's educational but also interesting and fun for kids when they're trying
to
learn, you know?
I started out working on a science magazine for elementary kids called Super Science. And we used to have a motto that was, everything is news to a first grader. And that's true in that for kids, you tap into like what's fun and new and exciting to them is not stuff that grown-ups would automatically think, oh, this sounds like something boring, right? For kids, learning about that there's planets and that scientists are looking for life on planets is exciting. And you kind of, it's pretty easy to tap into their wonder of faraway worlds.
Sure.
Well, on that topic, so you probably get a lot of kids asking you questions, too. So what kind of questions do kids ask you? Do you have any, like, really funny ones? And how do you answer some that are a little off the wall, too?
Yes, because I do assemblies at schools, and so, you know, kids ask questions. The ones that I am most afraid of are any questions having to do with God and the universe. Mm-hmm. So those I try to, especially at the Catholic schools, I try to, you know, defer to a teacher. But
a higher power.
Yes, I do. I was like, that's a good question in your religion class. But I get lots of questions about space disasters. You know, when is the sun going to burn out? And if what would happen if all of a sudden Saturn went colliding into the Earth? What would happen? And, you know, are there comets out there that we don't know about and they could hit us right away? So, you know,
yeah,
I mean, everybody knows about the dinosaurs and the asteroid that killed off the dinosaurs. So there, you know.
Yeah, I always just tell them to run. Run. When it's coming, you see it coming, run.
What a gifted educator you are.
Yeah. I try.
I tell them to run. Like, that's nice. Well, so we have this Mission to Pluto book, which is exciting. And now the book is great, and I love that it's so much information in it. But now I have to ask, where do you fall on the question? You know what I'm going to ask you about Pluto.
I do.
Planet or no?
It absolutely is a planet.
Bam.
Right?
Yes.
Wait. There's a qualification coming.
But it's an evolving category, right? Like, there's no way that, think about Jupiter.
Okay.
Right? And think, how can Jupiter and Mercury be in the same category, really?
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention Jupiter or Pluto. And so it's just,
how can Chihuahuas and German Shepherds both be dogs?
Because they can interbreed. And that's the definition of species.
Dang it,
Anna.
Man. Now we're getting to other science. Yeah. I thought I kind of had it, like little and big, but
fine. Yeah.
Man.
I mean, right. they're all going to be they're all going to be a planetary body, right? Because they orbit the sun.
Right.
But think all the other stuff that orbits the sun. Asteroids, junk. You know, and so I think we're moving towards you know, it'll be, I don't really know when, but it'll be, we'll have dwarf planets, we'll have gas giants. Uh-huh. Do you know what I'm saying? It just becomes more refined. You know, it's like your wines, right?
Yeah. Not just now wine. We're talking my language.
Okay. Now okay. you yeah. have, like, you know, is champagne a wine? There's a
it's delicious. So yes.
Yes.
That's the category.
That's delicious, right. I'm sorry, Mary Kay and I are going to talk about wine. Dean, you can step out of it. Like.
I was just kidding. That was a very diplomatic answer. You
that
say,
was, but I'm going to just see if our editing team can just stop after it absolutely is a planet.
Yes.
And then just
right.
the rest
yes.
of it, like nothing didn't happen.
And I'll get hate mail from Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Well, right, it's fine. One way or the other. It's either yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson
oh,
or
yeah.
Alan Stern.
Right.
So she
oh,
answered.
Yeah.
So
Alan
both,
Stern
so
nice. Is a big niner.
Yeah.
Both will be very
so,
happy.
Niner. It's a
yeah.
That's right. Did he ever, did you meet him in
yeah,
person?
Yeah, yeah. We interviewed him for the book because we went to the flyby.
Okay.
And so he
and
was
in here a lot.
Yeah, and he was in the flyby at the, you know, at the flyby on 2015, which, you know, was like a big NASA event. And why they can send a planetary probe 9.5 years, 3 billion miles to Pluto and make it arrive at like 6:45 a.m. in the morning. It's like
they always
yeah,
do that.
Beyond me. It's
always
like
in the
this nightmare. You had to be there like
oh, yeah.
at 5:30 to park.
If all the planning, I know it's a good point.
9.5 years.
Yeah. You could have like noon. Come
yeah.
on.
Prime time.
You would like that, Dean. You're a
no, I remember that yeah. with the Mars lander. The Curiosity one was in the middle of the night too.
Oh,
that was
yeah,
like,
right.
Come on, guys. But beyond Pluto and well around Pluto, there's also your book Beyond the Solar System. Tell us
yes.
about that one.
That one is I had a book exploring the solar system because the solar system is elementary curriculum, right? So that's what you know elementary kids have to learn about. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of where they stop at the end of the solar system, and then it did really well, and so we wanted a book that was about the stuff that's beyond that. And so it's basically, you know, stars and galaxies and black holes and is for older kids. So that was actually probably the most difficult book I've ever written
really?
In my entire
huh.
life.
What
yes.
made it that way?
Einstein.
Oh, making Einstein for elementary grades?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
That would
yes.
be tricky.
Without the math, right? Because it doesn't make
yeah.
sense without the math.
Right.
And you can't do the math. Ooh. For the kid, you know, for kids, and so you have to make it make sense without the math. It's hard.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'll take it your word. You
well,
yeah. trustworthy,
yeah,
but yeah,
boy,
you're really gonna prove
no, seriously,
it. That's an impressive
it is.
Thing for teachers to learn to be able to do that
without the math. So I mean, it's hard with the math.
That's but, for sure. Know, yeah, but. With the math. So what are some future topics? Are you working on anything right now? I mean,
yes.
What's happening?
I'm working right now on a book about Robin Tanamachi, who is a super cool. Tornado scientist at Purdue
wow.
who chases tornadoes in the South.
Oh,
which you know, fun fact, actually, many more people die in the South than out in the Great Plains from tornadoes.
Oh wow!
Yeah, mostly just because it's you know you hit a lot more people in
yeah.
Georgia than
mm-hmm.
you do in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
But they're studying that and how that's different. So we're working on that and. You know, out there shopping some new book ideas.
Nice.
Oh, you can't tell us, though.
Oh, yes.
Well, I can tell you if you want to publish it. But.
Oh, okay.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, I don't not want to publish it,
yeah.
but I guess
yeah.
I can't really commit to that. Oh, we'll just wait and see.
We will wait yeah. and see.
And like
excited.
I said, the Saturn, I'd really like to write a book about, like when I go to schools and kids talk about, kids really love Pluto,
mm-hmm.
right? And
who doesn't?
And but, you know, when you ask kids about their favorite planet, Saturn's really up there just
oh,
because
yeah.
of the bling factor with the rings. And you always talk about how they're lucky to be alive right now because those rings weren't always there. They won't always be there. It's mm-hmm. a temporary thing.
Mm.
So if they were born millennia in the future or in the past, there would be no rings.
It'd be totally different.
Yeah.
What?
Of course, they wouldn't have a telescope then to see them, but
no,
that's
but,
not the point. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Because
yeah,
it's just stuff going around, and so
right.
it's losing, that stuff is being lost to space at all, you know.
That's terrible.
Well, but, you know, it'll be around for a while. Yeah. Your whole lifetime it'll be there.
Who's going to comfort me now? Man, okay, crazy.
The rings will be there for you the rest of your life. Does that make you feel better?
Great. That's sort of
guys.
It's sort of like the sun blowing up.
Yeah, Jupiter won't run into...
You don't have to worry about it.
Don't put me in that category. I'm not asking that. I'm just worried about the rings. Okay. Anyway, back on track with the questions.
But it sounds like, I mean, there's so many varieties of science topics you get into.
Yes.
How do people find your books and your projects you're working on?
I have a website, which is just my name, MaryKateCarson.com. And, you know, I'm on Twitter and all the bookstores.
We'll post some links on our social media.
Yeah, here locally, local bookstores. Nice. Our local bookstores are great about supporting local authors. Seriously.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, thanks
Dean
so much. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
This has
been a lot of fun talking with you. We've been talking with author Mary Kay Carson. You can find her books at great bookstores and, of course, online. For more about Mary Kay, check out her website at MaryKayCarson.com. Thanks again.
All right, so we get a lot of schools and groups visiting the observatory. And Dean, you're out all the time doing programs, and we get some really interesting questions. We say from kids, but also from adults, really.
Oh, yeah, all sorts.
That's right.
I mean, all sorts of questions and all sorts of people.
That's right. Or, you know, from embarrassed parents making their kid ask or their, you know, whatever. So we have one today, but it is actually from an adult.
Okay. All right.
So.
Yes.
So the question is, a friend of mine was asking, you know, the sky and what, you know, what the sky looked like when her, like, husband was born. She was thinking like a gift, which is a cute idea, you know, to like have the sky mapped out when he was born, you know. It's not the same, though, as when it was like when their kids were born, or it's not the same as like, you know, it changes even when you're, right?
Yeah, no. Exactly.
And I was like, I'm going to get right back to you on this. Let me give me just 48 hours.
Yeah, and you'll have a whole chart made up and everything.
That's
like
right.
That.
I'd be like, I organically drew this.
Yes.
With no help at all.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to take credit for
it. I can help you.
Oh,
I can
great.
Help you. I got you covered.
I shouldn't wait. Not on the air. I should have done this. Anyway, let's...
No, it's a good question. I get this question a lot, too. People want to know what the sky looked like the moment they were born, or moment of big events and that type of thing. Was Mercury in retrograde? Was Mars going to run into a planet? That kind of thing.
That's right.
And so, you know, in the past, I would just, like, you know, make these elaborate charts and charge an elaborate amount of money for the charts, you know, to do this. But
huge money.
But now I decided I was a little taking advantage of the situation a la a astrologer. So I decided I'm not going to do those charts. And people can do this themselves. Mm-hmm. There's these websites, there's apps, there's free downloadable software that they can get. So probably the one that I recommend the most is called Stellarium. Mm-hmm. And you go to stellarium.org and you can download that, and you can put the sky to any date, any time, anywhere on Earth that you want. And so you can see the sky any day of the last tens of thousands of years. So if you're that old, they still got you covered. And then you can also go in the future to see, you know, the various, how everything's going to be in the future date.
Oh, so if you're planning your wedding, or your
you could exactly
you want to be like, I want to make sure the stars are all
well, you
or
know,
whatever.
Well, I mean, that's how I would do things.
I know,
but,
it was
you know,
actually.
Because I would say, okay, am I going to do something this day? What's the moon phase? That's what I always ask. And so you can see what the moon phase is.
Lord.
Is there going to be a cool planet to see? If I'm going to the Arizona desert.
Doesn't matter what it is, you're just going
to
make sure.
Right. If I'm going to go to the Arizona desert for a concert, if Mars isn't up, forget it. I'm not going.
Yeah, you're like, pass.
Right. Sorry. No, I don't go that far, but could do that. You could do that, and you could go in the future, and you could simulate when eclipses are happening and know what the eclipse will look like from your exact location.
And that's how we know in 6 or 7 years when there's going to be another solar eclipse, we know
exactly
where.
Exactly.
And when and how and whatever else.
Now, so Stellarium is a good place to go. You could get apps to do that. Most of the apps I find are like kind of less impressive than Stellarium. And there's another one called Starry Night. That one costs money. That one's a little more detailed. But for most things, you need is just Stellarium.
Which is free?
It is free.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Free and downloadable for any device. Or any computer. So it'd be a PC or Mac or that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Stellarium does have an app, which is okay, but there's Star Walk is another app, and Ghost Skywatch and Sky Safari. They all do kind of the same thing. You point your phone up to the sky, and it'll tell you what you're seeing.
Ooh.
But to go back in time, I kind of like the programs you put on computers.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want a printable chart, there's an easy way to do that, too. Mm. So you go to this website called heavens-above.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the website is mostly used for satellite tracking. So it tells you when satellites go overhead.
Oh, yeah. Because people are always surprised that we know when the space station or when someone's going to go by. They're like, how do you know that?
I know. And I always like, well, I've been working on this for years. You know, like I calculated it's, boy.
You're a fraud.
I am. Well, you know, I can play up some things every once in a while.
Like, I did it just for tonight. I called them up there and I said, go across here.
Right. I said, NASA, you owe me one. Fly over the observatory tonight.
Dang it, NASA.
Right.
That's right.
If you don't do it, I got secrets on you. You know,
I'm a solar system ambassador. What is it?
Yeah, I am the solar system ambassador.
No, I know you are.
You listen to the show. That's good. the heavens-above.com, and what you do is you enter your location. So you put whatever location you're at. So for this person, you know, where they were born, you have to put in the location, the city, the state, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes up, there's a thing down the left side, you can say star chart. And you can click on that, and it'll open up this chart. You can put whatever date you want, whatever time you want, and say update, and it'll give you a circular chart of what stars were up in the sky at that time, what planets were up in the sky at that time.
Oh, perfect.
And you just, like, hit print, and you're done. It's great.
Wow.
I know. And I was charging $100 for that,
Oh, man.
Well, okay. No, I'm just kidding. I never did that. I'm just kidding. It's a good idea for the future, though.
Uh-huh.
Note to self.
Note to self, burn this show.
That's right.
Because we don't want them to know they can do this for free.
I know.
At a heavens-above.com.
Yep. And then stellarium.org. Those are two good places to get started.
Doesn't that feel good to do something nice for people?
I do. I want the people to see this.
Rewards are, immeasurable.
That's the rewards in my heart is what's important.
Well, that's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks so much to Mary Kay Carson for joining us today. We'll have a link to her website and some of her books on our website, wvxu.org/lookingup.
We would love to hear from you. We're always open to topic ideas, guest suggestions, or any questions you have about space and astronomy. You can drop us a note at Facebook or on Twitter, or email us at lookingup@wvxu.org.
Parents, we hope you'll share Looking Up with your kids and send us any questions they may have. Or if you have questions, we want to hear those too.
You can subscribe to Looking Up wherever you listen to podcasts. And please give us a rating and comment on Apple Podcasts. And tell all your friends to check us out. If you're new to Looking Up, you can always find all of our past episodes at wvxu.org/lookingup.
Our theme song and additional music is by Y, that's W-H-Y ? From their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Cameron Reynolds is our producer, Rick Andrus is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.